This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice.
All right, today, guys, I'm going to give you a crash course education on something you're hearing a lot about, and we've been hearing a lot about it quite a bit recently, and part of that is because of the growing popularity of GLP-1 drug. So I'm going to walk you down a little path here, and I'm going to probably give you a couple what I would call aha moments to help you really understand more about insulin and more specifically how it affects your health, both good and bad. So let's start off at the beginning. What is insulin? Insulin is defined as a naturally occurring hormone produced by your pancreas that is designed specifically to regulate blood sugar or your glucose levels in your blood, because we cannot, under any circumstances, have large amounts of sugar within our blood circulating for any length of time. That is extremely dangerous to our overall health. So the way God designed the body, pretty smart. How insulin works is when you eat, your body breaks down carbohydrates into glucose, aka sugar, right? The pancreas then releases insulin, which then signals cells in your body to absorb that glucose for fuel, okay? Now, that's the way it's supposed to work. And if we think back way, way, way back in time, long before our modern day food supply, sugar was not a commonly ingested item into our day-to-day diet. And if it was, maybe it was in the form of things like fruit, which also were accompanied by fiber, which, by the way, by its very nature, slows down sugar absorption into the body. By the way, just a quick side note, that's why when you eat fruit, whether it's an apple or an orange or a pear or banana, whatever, all of those fruits have natural fibers built into them, which helps to slow down the introduction of sugar into the body and into the bloodstream. But ironically, when we consume just the juice of those fruits, especially if they are high glycemic, meaning high in sugar, but we don't have any of the fiber from that fruit to go along with it, it can really spike blood sugar quickly. So just a little side note there, if you're going to eat fruit which contains natural sugars, no problem, make sure you're eating the fruit itself. Juicing has its place, but I can tell you that it's not always the incredibly health beneficial answer that many people think it is. So that's a different story for a different day. Let's keep going. All right, so what happens then is if we have excess glucose, right, in the body, circulating in the blood, again, we can't have it sit there, so it has to go someplace. So what happens is if we have excess, the body's got to figure out, what do we do with this excess glucose, okay? Because we're trying to get it into the cells to use for fuel and energy, but now we have too much of it. So now we have to store it. That's our only option because, again, it cannot stay in the blood. So we store it in things like the liver and maybe the muscles as glycogen, or, sadly, for a lot of us, it gets converted into fat for later use, meaning your excess body fat oftentimes is a result of excess glucose that the body needed to do something with, and it was out of space. There was no more space in the liver. There was no more space in the muscle tissue, and therefore the only option the body had to protect you was to put it into the form of fat cells. So think of your fat cells as like a reserve energy tank. Okay. One of the things we're hearing about when it comes to insulin is something called insulin resistance. You're hearing a lot about this in our modern day times, and that's because it's a major problem for lots and lots of people. So insulin resistance occurs when, again, the cells in your muscles or your fat or your liver simply just stop responding or don't respond as well as they used to insulin. And therefore, they can't absorb, again, that glucose from your blood. So then what happens as a result of that, your pancreas starts overproducing insulin because it's trying to do its best to force the sugar into your cells. And when it can't do that any longer, this is where we end up in a situation where we start to get into things like prediabetes. And oftentimes, we eventually, if we don't get it under control, become diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic. Okay. So again, how it works, the normal process, right? Eat, break it down into glucose, triggers the pancreas, releases insulin, and a hormone that acts as this insulin is unlocking. It's like a key into a key slot, allowing the glucose to provide energy. What happens in the resistance phase, though, is that because, again, the cells are either kind of numb to or almost get to a place where they're ignoring that insulin signal, now the glucose can't enter the cells. And again, it starts to build up in the bloodstream. Body panics. We got to get rid of it. And again, for a lot of people, it becomes a fat storage issue. When we stop doing that and it creates this excess visceral fat, especially which is oftentimes linked to belly fat, we start to look at, well, why is this happening? Well, obviously, poor diet is one of the biggest factors here. Consuming excessive amounts of things like refined carbohydrates, high fructose foods, sugar in general. And I encourage you, as you're buying foods in the grocery store, I encourage you to look at the information on the back panels to look at actually how much added sugar is on so many of these, right? There's actually a separate line on your nutritional facts or your supplement facts of added sugar, and you'll be probably pretty shocked at how much added sugar there is. And again, over time, because we're unable to manage all this sugar, our diets can put us in this position where we start really end up being in a pretty bad position, because what we know is that when we have excessive amounts of body fat, we also have excessive amounts of inflammation in the body. And anytime we've got excessive amounts of inflammation, we're going to have the pathways for many different disease and illnesses to start to take root within the body. Okay? So again, starts with our diet, minimizing the amount of carbohydrates or sugar-laden foods and beverages, of course, is the start. In fact, I'm here to argue that you could literally, for the most part, cut out virtually all sugar and a majority of carbohydrates and still be perfectly fine. Your body's extremely resourceful, especially, by the way, if you're carrying quite a bit of excess body fat. Remember what I said a moment ago? That excess body fat is like reserve fuel. It's reserve energy for your body because, again, if your body has no glucose to run on, if you're not consuming it from your diet, you then get the opportunity to start tapping into those body fat stores. Well, how else can we minimize this insulin resistance? Well, we've got to get more physically active, okay? If we are not living a physically active lifestyle, and again, that's going to be a different definition for different people depending on what your current physical abilities are. But the goal here is to try to do some type of exercising that either mirrors resistance or weight training and or a combination of not long-term but more specifically, more higher intensity cardiovascular style, or brisk walking would also suffice. But again, not for like a half an hour, 45 minutes at a time. Because what we don't want to do is when we start to do too much cardiovascular exercise, the problem we end up running into is when our body starts to run out of those glucose stores in the muscle tissue and we're not yet tapping into body fat, we start to actually break down lean muscle tissue. And again, we don't want to do that. Your lean muscle tissue is your body's longevity factor. It's one of the major longevity factors, not just for mobility, not just for your ability to physically act, but it's also, remember I said a moment ago, your body has places it can store excess glucose. One of them is muscle tissue. So show me as an example somebody who's got a lot of lean, healthy muscle tissue, and I'll show you somebody that can afford to eat more sugar-laden foods or more carbohydrate foods, because there's more places in the body that don't resemble fat for the body to store some of that glucose. But if we have somebody who's got low levels of lean muscle tissue but high levels of body fat, that's the person who, when they consume more of these excess carbohydrates and excess sugars, it just becomes more and more body fat. Okay, so that leads to another lifestyle factor. We have to get rid of the fat. We've got to find ways to get rid of that excess body fat, because it's a vicious circle you end up getting into. Because again, as you have this insulin resistance and your body can't deal with the sugar like it's supposed to, and there isn't enough room in the muscle tissue, and the liver's already stored up, we keep packing on more and more body fat. This is why reducing calories is not always the first step in managing healthy weight. It's actually reducing your body's need to keep pumping insulin out of the pancreas to deal with all the excessive sugars and carbohydrates you're taking in. So step one, got to get that diet under control. Step two, more physical activity so we can start to burn and use some of that glucose. Step three is let's find ways to lose weight. And again, calories do count, and so being what we call a calorie deficit for your physical body is important, but even more important than that is making sure that if you're looking to do a calorie deficit where you're looking to consume a little less calories every day than your body needs, you're then going to start burning more fat. But if the calories you're consuming are high in sugar and high in glucose, that's going to backfire on you. So what's interesting is people are always wondering, am I in that insulin resistance phase? Is this something that's affecting me? And there's different ways you can look at it, but one of the coolest and easiest and fastest ways that you can find out whether or not your body is currently in a state of insulin resistance is really simple. You're going to look at two standardized blood test ratios, okay? First thing you're going to look at is your triglyceride triglycerides. So you get a standard blood panel, standard lipid panel, you're going to get your triglyceride levels. And by the way, this is fasting. I'm assuming if you're doing a blood test, you're doing fasting. But then the second thing you're going to look at is your HDL cholesterol, okay? And you want to divide your HDL into your triglyceride levels, okay? Now, if your ratio of triglycerides to HDL, if the ratio is 2 or below, you are in a good metabolic health state and you have good insulin sensitivity. If that ratio comes up from 2 to 3.5, you're borderline risk, indicating you're starting to get into a state of insulin resistance. If that ratio hits 3.5 or higher, you're in fact in a significantly insulin resistant state and you have metabolic dysfunction, okay? So what we want to do is we want to lower our triglycerides, knowing that this ratio is important to be a factor as to whether or not you have insulin resistance. We want to lower our triglycerides and we want to increase our HDL. So how do we do that? Well, again, going back, exercise helps lower your triglyceride levels. Losing weight helps do that, okay? Also, again, eating healthier foods, cutting out sugar, all the things we just talked about lead to lower triglyceride levels. And here's a supplement that you can add that really does have a significant positive effect on lowering triglycerides, and that is a good high-quality omega-3 fish supplement. And, of course, in Zuma, you've got that with omega-3 75, okay? So that's one way to consider addressing insulin resistance, lower those triglycerides. But at the same time, if we can increase our HDL, we're going to be in a better place where, again, that ratio of triglycerides to HDL, and by the way, you can Google search this and find out all kinds of cool information about that. But that ratio then starts to really work in our favor as our HDL goes up. So again, getting proper exercise, eating healthy fats, which again goes right back to those omega-3 fatty acids. So there's your omega-3 75 playing a dual role purpose. Losing weight, all of these things help, but also increasing your intake of soluble fiber. Now, where can you find soluble fiber? Well, you can find a bunch of it in your Zion 365. Zion 365 is primarily a healthy prebiotic, and those prebiotics are indicated by soluble and insoluble fibers. So by using something like Zion 365, you're also supporting your body's ability to help increase HDL while also supporting, of course, good gut health. So these are some of the things you can do. Now, here's the interesting take-home on this. When you analyze what's happening with the Zuma Metabolize system, when you look at the ingredients in the AM formula, the PM formula, and the protein fiber shake, and we just talked about fiber, you'll see this synergy of all these powerful nutrients that work in harmony, in conjunction with each other, to help support against this insulin resistance. In fact, the AM formula, when we reformulated just a short time ago, was targeted to mirror the same kind of benefits as a GLP-1 medication. But again, the PM formula is very important because sleep also plays a significant factor in this equation of minimizing insulin resistance and supporting maximum ability for the body to burn fat. And of course, protein and fiber work really well because I said a moment ago, you've got to have good, healthy, lean muscle tissue. The only way you're going to do that is twofold, consuming enough protein and getting some type of resistance exercise in. When you do that, you're supporting that metabolic engine of the body and you're allowing yourself some freedom and flexibility at the same time to be a little bit lax at times about your consumption of carbohydrates and sugars so that your body can manage them better because it's got places to store them because you have more of that lean, healthy muscle tissue. So it's no surprise to me that the metabolize system works as well as it does in Zuma because it plays right into everything I just talked about. But again, take this information and put it to use. Remember, one final thought. This is going to shock you, but I'm thrilled that I picked this up. And again, I can't claim any credit for it because I'm not the one that came up with this, but I follow lots of interesting doctors and scientists and metabolic researchers, and Dr. Benjamin Bickman came up with a statement that blew me away, but he's absolutely right. He said, if you didn't have insulin in your body would not have anything necessary to store body fat. It's the insulin that stores body fat. So literally, if we didn't have insulin in our body, none of us would have body fat. But without insulin, we would not be here either because we need that critically to manage blood sugar levels. So in a perfect world, we would not have to worry about it. But since, again, we have to have insulin to manage blood sugar levels, just know that that's how critical getting your insulin level or insulin sensitivity is so that you're not in an insulin-resistant state and therefore your body more readily burns fat instead of storing it. So I hope this information has been helpful to you. And with that, Mr. Tim, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thanks, Ken, again, for all your information. And we'll be back on here next Wednesday, same time. Till then, y'all have a great week.